Good afternoon, Mrs. Ketchell-Kirk, and with looking up a few minutes at the end of the week to think about astronomical things. Well, now I'm here in Jodrell Bank and I'm talking to Tim Stevenson, who's the head of mission assurance for the Square Kilometre Array project. Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon.
Now, the recent news is that the Philae lander, which was part of the Rosetta mission to land on an asteroid a few years back, but now the lander has been found. It was lost for a while, and we found it. And I believe you have something to do with this mission.
Yes, many years ago, we had to consider the difficulty of trying to land something on a very nearly non-gravitating object. In other words, a celestial body whose gravitational field was so weak that even the slowest approach and the most gentle landing would not be sufficient to retain the lander in place. So you had to actually have an anchoring system. The anchoring system needed to be designed to work in a wide range of materials, ranging from relatively hard rock to pure ice.
Because you wouldn't really know what the asteroid's made of exactly, would you, before going there?
No, but in this particular case, as it's a cometary nucleus, we knew that a cometary nucleus was either very nearly pure ice, in other words, a so-called dirty snowball, or something that actually had considerably more hard material in it. So it's like landing on an ice cream, where the flavours of the ice cream are not known.
And you don't know if there's any lumpy bits in there.
Correct.
Or the shape of it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, the shape of it, yeah.
And because of that, the lander, it landed on the asteroid, but then went into a little cave and couldn't get any light, and so went to sleep for a while.
Yes, because the shape of the nucleus of this particular comet is so irregular, there was quite a high chance that it would end up in a place where it would be shaded, and also its orientation wouldn't be particularly favourable to make reasonable measurements.
It's quite an astonishing feat, because the asteroid's going at a huge rate of knots. It's out spinning out there in space, going head over heels, and you have to then land this little tiny thing with some sort of grappling hook. Is that what you were involved in designing?
Yes, and in other words, a series of harpoons, effectively, that you shoot into the material and would lock in place, where you tension the tether attached to the harpoon to draw, in this case, little spacecraft down onto the surface and hold it there.
And the idea was that the little spacecraft would be able to sit there and do various experiments, but actually it didn't get any power from the sun because it was lodged in a dark place. So
and it was in an orientation where its small group of solar panels were literally pointing in the wrong direction.
There was an awful lot that could go wrong in this mission, wasn't there? I mean, it was quite a sort of shot in the dark, if you pardon the pun, to try to get it all to work and to send science data back.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's an example of going to an incredibly exotic environment of which very, very little is known. So it's worth taking the risk, absolutely. And when you work in planetary science, you get these opportunities periodically and you try very hard even to make the most simple measurements.
But all is not lost, because we have learnt something about comets and asteroids and how they're made.
Yes.
And presumably we're going to get some more data from this mission.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that has actually caused a great hiatus in planetary thinking was that originally it was thought that the source of water in the inner solar system was from comets. But one of the first things that this mission did was to test that theory and to find it lacking. In actual fact, the isotopic signature of water on the Earth is actually significantly different from that of comets, and therefore that long-held theory has been invalidated.
Well, you heard it here on Fine Music Radio. Tim Stevenson, thank you very much for talking to us, and it's quite extraordinary the breadth of experience and talent that there is in the Square Kilometre Array project, not all pure radio astronomers. It's a very interesting place to work. So thank you, Tim.
Pleasure.
And we'll talk some more about asteroid missions in the future, but for now, this is Ketchell Kirkham from Jodrell Bank wishing us all clear skies.